Ladies and gentlemen, dabblers in babble, my danticizers. I mentioned last week that I had met two guests at a professional development conference. And while that professional development conference was geared at me making me better at my actual job, apparently it was also great at cultivating podcast content, because with me this week is yet another attendee of the professional development conference, another college counselor from Hartsville, South Carolina. We have Larry Kalangi, which I mispronounced on purpose. It's Larry Kalangi. Larry, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you? And I've listened to last week's podcast. I am that Which Door guy, if anyone listened to this, because
Larry of Which Door fame, but also Larry of Has Never Seen Food Before fame.
Oh my goodness. To be fair, I couldn't sleep that night because it was like the bed was uncomfortable, first of all. And like, I don't know where my headset that day. For some reason, I just keep asking questions after questions. So
to be fair, it was a wild day, and it was an especially wild 4 hours. But what a time. What a time.
So I really laughed when you guys mentioned about how chaotic at the beginning was and people walking in and out of the door. And then I saw you, I was like, what's going on right now? And you said, you were like, it's chaotic, isn't it? Just go through that door. I'm like, what's that door? And you were like, it's the auditorium. I was like, why am I going to the auditorium? Are we going there? Or what are we doing right now?
You just had to see it. You just had to get the full Salem College experience.
Yes.
So what were your thoughts on the auditorium and then Salem College at large?
I honestly didn't get to get into the auditorium. I was just so ready to like sit down because I thought we had a long day and we were at Wake Forest. And of course we got lost. There was a whole big thing and we didn't know. I mean, our tour guide really just dropped us in the middle.
But it's not even the tour guide's fault. Again, to set the stage is one of the presenters at the conference said, I'm supposed to be presenting at this session and I have no idea where we're supposed to be. He walks out of the building on his phone. And then 2 minutes later, he is just gone. He knew there was probably 8 of us still inside. Mm-hmm. And he had just said bye. Like nobody knew where we were supposed to be going.
Yeah. So I guess that like when we got to Salem College, you know, I think two different universities, right? One is a lot bigger, private school, and the other is small, 300 students, right? And I think that big of a difference going to Salem College was like, I don't know, like in my head, I guess like everyone's mind, it was just like, it's half the day already, we want food.
Right, which to be fair, Wake Forest did give us a really nice breakfast, but it was like, it was 1:30. It was late. I don't know. Everything that happened that week, time just seemed to stop mattering.
It did. I had a great time. Honestly, I thought that there was a lot of different personalities, different people that are in the room. And I remember you mentioned, you're like, You're a guest at this conference. Stop putting input and listen to the presenter.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. So we do need to address that because my goodness. So I don't know. Would you say that we formed a bit of a clique at this conference?
We did. I thought so.
Just a little bit. Like, I feel like we all like intermingled well, but then it was like, I feel like all of us couldn't wait to get back and like decompress and just kind of go over everything that happened. Because right, so the conference was specifically for people that are new to the college counseling profession on the high school side of things. And I want to get into your story of what's led you to college counseling, partly because I think your story has aspects that are interesting, aspects that are kind of a traditional route. But I'm also just interested to know like how people end up where they are. And now, have you actually started your new job yet, or are you?
I have. Yes. Okay. I started 3 months ago, and I think that very fresh, very green. That's like a new term that I've heard before. Like, is this like college counselor term? Like, very fresh, very green.
Yeah. Because a lot of us, like Maria, who was on last week, she doesn't start until August 1st. And I started the first week of July. So like, we're all very new to our new roles, at least the people that like we were with. There were some people who had been at their positions for a year or two. But anyway, with that in mind, this conference was specifically for people who were new to the counseling profession. And I thought it was an excellent conference. I learned a lot. Took a lot away from it, especially just like being able to talk to some of the deans of admission and ask the questions that I know like commonly come up when we interact with students and families of like, how is an application evaluated? A big thing for us is always like, is the school really looking into your course schedule? And like a big thing for us is different levels of math. And it's like, I was able to sit down and have it verified that, yes, we look at these things. So it's nice to have that confirmed. So it's not just like I've heard it from other people in my office, but I've heard it from external sources that are actually reviewing these applications. Excuse me. So excellent conference, learned a ton. But there were two things that I want to bring up. The first is that there would be this phenomenon that kept happening where in these sessions,
yes,
the presenters would be giving really good information. And then like three or four people would raise their hand and want to like add to it. And it was like, most of the time they were like basically restating what had already been said. But I also just wanted to be like, sit down, like you are here to learn. And one of the people that was the worst culprit of this was in my small group breakout session. And I was so glad Maria was in there with me.
Wow.
Because the first day she just like unloaded about all of her anxiety of stepping into this role. It was the woman who had like been in admissions and talked about how she didn't really want to make the change. Do you remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really nice lady, I think, like is in an interesting position. But it was just like, she kept on apologizing. She's like, I know I'm monopolizing all of the time. And then like, I would like try to say something or somebody else would try to say something and she would just steamroll. And it's like, okay, this isn't like a conference specifically for you. And then what really got me about her is every session she would be like, and this, and this, and this. And it's like, okay, but that's not even relevant to what we're talking about right now. And it's just like, some people just needed to hear themselves talk. It drove me crazy.
Yes. No, I think that's why like a lot of our session went overtime.
Oh, because yeah.
People just want to add a thing or two. And it really just like the same point. They kind of bring out their experience. And I think in our group, we were definitely in our first year, right? We just started into this mm-hmm. profession. I thought that was a very great conference for all of us. But there are people that, you know, like Kelly's been in the profession for 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's been coming back through this conference. But there are also people that are in the, that has 5 year experience or 10 years experience. And that's why they, you know, go to the somewhere else. I mean, go to a more mid-level management position, I guess, to
right,
for us,
100%.
It's like for us really new, we don't, you know?
I know. Well, because then some of the facilitators would almost like then talk even more because I think they wanted to like solidify themselves as the experts in the room, which like our facilitators were great. I loved all of our facilitators, mm-hmm. every single one of them. I thought they were phenomenal. But it was like this weird, like, okay, like you're not running the conference. Sit down, let them go. But that's, I don't know. That's just such a trait in,
yes.
I think, this type of profession where it's like, okay, you just want to talk and you just want to vent. You're not actually here to listen. You just want people to listen to you.
Yes.
And it's like, okay. Like in my
session, like, I think there were like the first day a girl cried. Just because,
okay.
No, I don't know. I guess it was like,
walk it back.
I know.
Set the stage.
Like, when we were in the meeting, I think that we got to see the college counseling landscape, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the term caseload has been throwing around a lot, and like, mm-hmm. you know, for us who have smaller caseloads, you know, versus some others that are in public school, you know, they have a lot of caseloads. And I think that this is, I guess, like this is their perfect time to kind of unpack some of the things that they've been feeling in their own experiences, because it's a lot different from my school versus your school, right? Mm-hmm. Our school is a lot smaller than their school. And so, yeah, she just said, I have 400 caseload, and she started crying. And I'm like, I can empathize with that, because I don't know if I can have 400 caseloads. I'm sorry. Like, you know, like, I think that that would also make me want to cry. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I really can't even wrap my mind around what you do in a situation like that. I mean, that was similar to, like, my graduating class was close to 500. And I was talking about this in the office today. Like, my college counseling experience was me telling my guidance counselor where I needed transcripts sent. Like, I didn't have any sort of individual meeting to talk about any of this. Like, it was all very much on my own. So, like, when I got into the independent school world, this entire college counseling world was very new to me. Like, yeah. I had no idea that it existed to the level that it does. Mm-hmm. And, like, now that I'm in it, like, I can honestly say, like, I love it. I've talked several times on the podcast previously that, like, if I would have known that this was a career, this is, like, I feel like I'm tailor-made for this career. So, like, I'm loving it. I've started to have senior meetings since the conference, and, like, the conference has made me feel so much more confident in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, I don't know. It was a little difficult making the transition from being a classroom teacher to doing this, because it's a much different dynamic. But the workload changes every day. Like, I just am thinking a lot more than I did as a teacher, because, like, you know, chemistry doesn't really change that much, especially at the level that I'm teaching. So it was like, I felt like I was very good at it, but now I feel like I'm challenged in a new way, and I'm absolutely loving it. So I don't know, but it was great. I think the networking at this conference is really just going to continue to pay dividends. And so I have a meeting soon, to talk about, like, my professional development wish list. And I'm just like, I want to go to more SACAC conferences so I can see my SACAC friends.
Are you going next year?
To, the conference in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, yeah.
I'm hoping to. That's on my wish list. We'll see. We don't know. So I've shared with you I'm in an office. We went from basically an office of two to an office of four. Mm-hmm. And we have a new director and everything. So, like, our budget we're very much in the process of figuring out what our budget even is and what we're going to be able to do. I'm hoping that since Jacksonville isn't that far for us, we'll be able to make it happen, because, like, we won't have to get a flight or anything. But I don't know. And I also really want to do the sweet tea tour.
When is that? Next year?
It's in June.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll probably do that one as well, just because it'll be interesting where it will be at. Do you know where it'll be at?
No, they haven't announced it yet.
Okay. Yeah, because my director, she's very involved in NACAC and SACAC. So she's very full on.
Oh my gosh, my director is very involved in SACAC and NACAC. I think they know each other.
I'm sure they do.
100%. That's the other thing that I was really surprised of, like, college counseling really is a very small world. It's like, I can't make any enemies, because that will definitely come back to haunt me. So I'm like, I better be on my best behavior. And I was, for the most part.
Yes. Oh, no. I mean, it was, like, crazy. Like, and the whole conference, you know, it was like, I was just like zoned in, because I know my director knows all the faculties that are here.
Exactly.
And, like, I'm just like, I can't, you know, we did have some days where we're allowed to drink alcohol, and it's just like, I'm not going to drink too much. Right. So, but yeah, I know. So you were a teacher and then you got into this profession, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You asked me earlier about my experience. I'm very traditional, because I came in from the admissions world, from the higher education side, and so I knew a lot of what I was an admissions reader and also was a recruiter. So let's
roll it back. So you went to the Citadel.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You're going all the way back. Okay.
Okay. I wouldn't say that's all the way back. But so remind me what you studied at the Citadel.
I studied psychology at the Citadel.
Psychology. Okay. So then graduating the Citadel, did you go directly into your admissions role?
I did. So I, when I was in college, very traditional, I was a college tour guide. I did the whole presentation. So it was kind of an easy transition after I graduated to where like, okay, now I'm going to be an admissions officer for my alma mater. Basically, I already know the ins and out of it and very easy to talk to students, right? And also I'm a grad. So that's easier way for a lot of the recruitments going on. And then, right. Yeah, and then I was like, I was in Charleston, South Carolina for a while, and I was like, you know what, I need something new. So I moved to Washington, D.C., and that's how I know University of Maryland. That's how I got involved with the University of Maryland. And then I was their recruiters, and then I actually moved to Los Angeles. I was their West Coast Regional Recruitment Coordinator, and which I get to recruit and read admissions students, students' admissions, based on West Coast. So I got that whole territory for my recruitment. And then, you know, I just wanted to move back home to South Carolina. So I that's how I ended up in Hartsville, South Carolina, which is totally the opposite of LA.
So when you were in LA, how often were you traveling in your admissions role?
Well, okay. So I actually started right before COVID happened. And then in like February, like everything shut down. So I didn't get to travel a lot. So I was basically like one of those virtual admissions for like that next 2 years because there was no traveling at all during that.
That's interesting because there was a time where I think the travel recruitment aspect of that, I think would have been really exciting. But hearing so many people at the conference talk about what that looks like, I'm like, that would not be exciting at all. Like I
no, if you were if part of that, if you're single, no kids, no pets, it's a great opportunity because I got to travel a lot when I was an admission officer at the Citadel. Mm-hmm. You know, basically I was able to recruit in Texas and Florida and Chicago, New York. Like I get to choose. And I was able to take that opportunities to do that. And it was a great way for me to build points for my flights and right. hotel points. So, and it was very taxing, however, because you would recruit, you know, heavily. And as you know, in the college counselor side, you know, September and October is very heavy college visits, right? And so I would be away during those time and I would either sometimes be on that city for the weekend and travel to the next city, or, you know, I don't have the time to go back and kind of, if I do happen to go back, it's just like for rest and like, and then travel again.
Right. So. And I think that's the thing about it where I think it is definitely a younger person's game where like when you're fresh out of college, I think like, yeah, that's like, as you're kind of getting established, I think I would have really, and I definitely would have enjoyed that more than, you know, doing the whole grad school thing. but yeah, I just know like at this point in my life, like that much travel and cause it's like, it's a lot of weekends too, isn't it?
Yes, basically most of them are weekends as well. That's like, it's very taxing physically and mentally because one, you eat whatever at the airport or, you know, you don't typically cook because you travel. And right. two, sometimes you just have to wake up early in the morning and then, you know, you're in the city. One time I was in Chicago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this whole week a weekend and I just went out. So... But well, aren't you? You're still young. You're young. So
I am still young. thank you for saying that. I believe not quite. You graduated in 2016.
In 2016, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I graduated undergrad in 2015, so I'm a year older.
Okay. Than okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like do I still have the vigor to do it? Sure. But do I want to do it? Absolutely not. Like, especially compared to what my job is now. Like, I think a lot of the challenge of our profession is it's a difficult situation to please both the student and be realistic with the student and also keep the parents in the loop and keep the parents happy. And that's just like a delicate balance that you have to figure out that, you know, I'm going into my first season, so I can't really talk about how I do it in this role, but like in my previous roles, interacting with the different populations like that. That's something about this job that I really like having the opportunity to interact with people on the college side. Like I really enjoyed meeting the regional counselors at the different colleges that we visited and kind of like putting a name to the face and like realizing that there's an actual person like on the other side of these things, reading the applications and just like learning more about different landscapes and different environments. Like that's cool to me, but being able to do that from a comfortable office where I can go home every night and, you know, enjoy my comforts.
Yeah. No, I think I really like being on this side now. And also I think my worries now is basically talking to parents because, mm-hmm. you know, parents have the ideas of this and this and this. And, you know, the person, you know, the students, we were working with the students, right? And we don't work with the parents. And sometimes those doesn't match well, those doesn't work. And I have yet to encounter that. This is just some of the things that right. I've heard from the office.
Well, so. And some of it too is like, you will tell a parent a thing or you'll answer a parent's question. And for them, it's a lot of anxiety because, yeah. you know, they've invested in their kids' education. And this is where like, they're really hoping to see the dividend of the education in a very tangible way. Mm-hmm. So like you may tell them something and you may know that you're right and they may trust you, they may not trust you, but they're still going to then go and like talk to their friends, read blogs and like do their own research. And it's like, that's why our offices exist. Like we're constantly immersed in this so we can figure it out and navigate it for you. But like, I completely understand, like they want to set their kid up for success. They want to make sure their investment is sound, whatever. Like it's multi-layered. Now your school though, are you at a residential school?
Yes, it is.
Very so what is that like? Do you have, like you have your college counseling duties. Do you have mm-hmm. duties? Are you involved in any way outside of college counseling?
No, for right now, I really just want to finish my first year to get all experience, get that done, get that under my belt. Mm-hmm. But I was also asked, like, hey, you know, I did play tennis in college. And so they were like, do you want to coach tennis? And so mm-hmm. it was one of those things that like also benefit for me, but I don't know if I want to divide my times just yet. I really feel like I want to get this first year done and then do that next year. But yes, college counseling is basically my main duty right now. So
gotcha. And how big is your office?
We have four.
Okay. So
really we have three, but we are hiring, looking for assistant directors. So
got you. So our offices function very similar. Oh, so are you all counselors or is it three counselors and an administrative assistant?
Yes. Like three counselors and administrative assistant, but we're bringing one. So it'll be four counselors and one administrative.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I got you. So, okay. So yeah, so very similar office structure. So that is interesting. So yeah.
So wait, so you also teach, right?
I also teach a class. Yeah.
How, you know, I think that's bring on a different perspective as well, because would you be teaching that your students as well? Like, or no?
Yeah. So I'm actually trying to think this year if I have anybody. I think this year I don't have anybody in, like I don't have a senior in class that's also part of my caseload, which is interesting. I have taught everybody in my caseload though. So okay. Because I taught for 2 years prior full time. So everybody in my caseload is somebody that I've taught before. So I think that for me makes my job easier in a lot of ways because like I know a lot of the parents and I know these kids really, really well.
Yes.
I've coached several of these kids. So it does, I think like the more access points you have to these kids, like there's just certain kids that I've been able to be like, you should really suggest this school, and I think they just, they're more receptive to that maybe because like they know me and they know that I'm not just like arbitrarily throwing the name out there, you know? So I don't know. I also, we'll see how it goes when the school year actually starts. Because I didn't want to give that up. I don't know if I would have transitioned into this role if I had to completely give up teaching. And so like, I think it'll be a nice like way to break up my day, but I also like, I'm already busier than I thought I was going to be. Like the days go by so much faster than they ever did as a teacher. Like I love not having to live and die by the bell, but with like with that said, the one class, I don't know. I think it'll be nice to just kind of like, especially have that familiarity this year to be able to do something that, you know, I know I can do well and that I like, and that I'm comfortable with while I'm like learning so much new and seeing so many new things.
Yeah. I had a question, but it went away. What was it?
Well, this is, we have never shifted mind. Roles. It's all the questions are coming from you now. I feel like a guest on my own podcast.
No, I mean, I guess.
No, it's okay.
Like, it's, you know, we met at a conference. Okay, by the way, you know, everyone is listening to this. I just want to say Dan did not remember my name. And I thought that was.
That is true. Amazing. That is true. I was full disclosure. I was going to figure out a way to work that in because, okay. So, you know how it, like, I was meeting so many people and like, I think we met the first dinner, the first night.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was so like we got in, I don't even like our first session was around 2:00. I don't know. Yeah. That's about when the conference started. And then we had dinner. It was a long day. We just randomly ended up at a dinner table together. And so it was like everybody going, but I was like, I don't know if I'm like going to be interacting with these people. And I listened to your name. I heard your name. And then in my head, you became Alex. Like I was like, whatever. And so then the next day, was it at the baseball game that I didn't know your name?
No, it was at Wingate. Yes. Because okay, first of all, also we didn't have name tags. So typically
we didn't have name tags.
Right?
We didn't have name tags until the third day when we no longer needed name tags.
The third day we were there, like we're gonna leave the next day, and that's when we get our name tag. And I think that was, I guess, same thing to you as well. Like I kept asking everyone's name because there were just so many of us there that I'm not like good. I was jumbling names on top of my head. Like, and then we would oftentimes sit together for lunch and dinner, and then we would go our own groups and right. come back.
Right. So like, I was like, God, I don't know. And I feel like I don't even know. I was like, I apologized for not remembering,
okay.
But you were also very offended, rightly so. Because I feel like you did.
I walked in into the room and I saw you and I was like, oh, "Hey, Dan!" And I remember you didn't say anything to me, so you did wave. And after the meeting, that's when you were like, "I'm sorry, I can't remember your name."
I was really racking my brain. Well, to be fair, like I don't know, you were. You were like really buddy buddy with that one woman that I didn't see you talk to the rest of the conference.
Who?
The woman that you got on the bus with. She was from Orlando. I don't know. So at the end of the first dinner, like everybody at my table was like, we're taking the bus. We've been walking so much. And then Jordan, another guy at the conference, and I were like, I don't need to take the bus. We'll just walk back. So,
okay. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys did want to go back. I thought you said like the bus, like the bus.
No. The bus, like the campus.
At UNC Charlotte. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, the other thing that was just really interesting is this felt like grown-up summer camp in some ways where
it was.
we had so much fun because it was like we had two of the four nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, two of the three nights. Wait, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Yeah, two of the three nights we had open bars. We had an open bar at Queens, and we had an open bar at UNC Charlotte on the last night.
And then at the baseball game too, because we got that $20 ticket, so we were drinking at the baseball game.
And some of us had multiple $20 tickets.
Yes, and also after that, we all went out on both nights. Yeah, so exactly. I remember I was like the next day, I was just like, I don't know how to handle this, just because I was dehydrated. We were walking everywhere. And I think
that's the other thing that I hate about these things is there is never enough water. I drink so much water in my normal day. And then all of a sudden it's like, here's half a bottle for the entire day. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I was so happy, like when we got to Wake Forest and they gave us full size water bottles, I was like, and coffee. I was like, I could cry right now.
When you mentioned this is like an adult like campground, because there was just so many like big personalities too. And I thought that after this conference, I literally sat in silence in my own home, just because like I thought I talked way too much with everybody. So
It was a lot of fun though. And cause it was like, it was really good energy, and it was really nice that so many people, it's just like, there were so many people that authentically cared about doing their jobs well and cared about this profession. So like that in itself was energizing, but then it was really weird on the last day when the conference ended to just like, kind of like walk away.
there was no like, debrief and okay, like, you know, I guess like some you guys group went to Davidson. I would have loved to go there. I didn't know, but I was just so tired the whole entire time that I was just like,
okay, I guess we didn't do, I mean, yeah, like so the group that went, like we just had talked about it, really was a factor of our flights were leaving at similar times, so it was like, okay, like we've got time to kill anyway. I don't know why we didn't tell you about Davidson, because you drove, right?
I drove, yes, and I'm like, I was like an hour away, so
I don't know, but it was just like you spend like 72 hours straight with these people, and then it's like, oh yeah, we're not like actually like
there should be like a last minute like lunch or something, just to like have everybody in this group to kind of like, okay, say farewell to each other. Because we did have a good group of people there. I'm not gonna lie, I think that all of you guys were like bringing my personality out as well. Like I thought I was very much introvert, but I feel like you know, I can be extrovert and talk to you guys, because everyone was just so nice.
Yeah, no, it was a great time. Everybody was authentically, I had a really great time. Like I really didn't have to fake it with anybody, which like you don't always expect at these things, especially networking. And that goes for the faculty too. Like I was just very much myself and at ease, which was really nice. So, and I was thinking about it today. I'm like, there are going to be times where, because like, I've got great resources in my office, but it's going to be nice to reach out to people with different perspectives and just be like, are you seeing this? Like, what's your experience? And I don't know. I feel like the networking, I think, is a very solid takeaway from this week.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that I can always just reach to any of you guys and be like, hey, do you guys hear so-and-so, or you guys heard about this and that, I don't know about, and you can create conversations among us. And I thought that was a big thing. Because everyone was very nice and very welcoming.
It was good. It was a good time. So and like, it sounds like, I mean, if you stay in this profession long enough, our paths will definitely cross again. But we are running low on time. So would you like to plug any of your social media? It's fine if you don't.
I'm a very private person, actually. Well, I'm on Instagram, but I'm not on any other platform. So, but
very elusive.
I can share my handle, I guess. I don't know.
If you want to, I don't care. Me. I'm just...
I know Dan is very, very popular, you guys. I know there's a lot of people who are listening to this, because first, when I listened to the podcast, I thought that all you guys did great, and it was very soothing. Like, I could hear this. Like, I'm a driver, so I really like to drive up north, like an hour drive, and I always listen to podcasts. So definitely I can hear, you know, your podcasts along the way. And you have a bunch, so that's good.
I was going to say, go through that backlog, because there are there's a lot of content there.
Yes.
But as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Babbling Dan. Follow me on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. Rate the show 5 stars. Share it. Really helps us out. And Larry, it was great just to talk to you again. And just keep figuring out where food is. And my final question for you, okay. Is which door?
Which you guys have, you have to be there. I was so out of it that day, and the tour guide was behind me when I was listening to that. I don't know
which door. That's all that needs to be said. Which door?
There was so many different doors in front of me, but it was irrelevant at this point.